Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're going to talk about what to do when you come across a deceased person on the deed. Before we do that, though, let's take a second and talk about the Casual Fridays REI consulting program. Guys, basically, we're here to help. Doesn't matter if you're brand new to this and you just want some help picking and pricing a county, or you've been at it for a while and you're looking for some help on ways to expand. All you got to do is go to our website at www.casualfridaysrei.com. Click on the consulting tab, walk through the sign up, and then we'll be in touch to help you get started.
Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday.
How are you?
I'm really good. How about you?
Good. I'm going to do something today I don't know if I'm ready to do or not, though.
I love a surprise. Okay. What is it?
I'm actually going to take Jackson out to test fit him on some motorcycles.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes a whole lot more sense. I thought you were going to do something on the show.
No, I'm not going to do you like that this week. I'm going to behave for you this week.
Well, I will believe it when I see it.
Yep.
Okay, well, taking Jackson to look at motorcycle, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm going to let him sit on because he's small. Mm-hmm. But then we have I told him that I would, he doesn't know we're going to go do that today, but I'm also going to send him to they have a BMX racing league this fall. And so I'm going to put him in there and they let you use their equipment, their bike, their helmet. And so I told him that he had to do that if there was any chance of him racing motocross. So it's 1 month long. And so he didn't want to play fall ball. They actually needed coaches, and they never called and said, "Hey, you coming back to coach again?" And I asked him. He said, "Yeah, you go coach, Dad." And I was like, "What? You don't want to play?" And he's like, "No." I said, "Okay, well," he's like, "I want to race motocross." And I was like, "Well, I want you to do this BMX league, so we're going to sign up for that."
So why do you want the BMX league? Why not just put them straight on a bike and go, a motorcycle and go?
I think that, me personally, I believe that the bike will give him more strength. It's better for his physical fitness than motocross is because he's going to be moving, using those legs, kind of whole body, and it's an Olympic sport now. Mm. I'm not saying my son's going to be an Olympian, but he did just step on his bike and ride off.
Well, I mean, it's not like riding a dirt bike is just for, you know.
Yeah, but I you got to remember, I know pro riders, and I know how much they gotten hurt over their life.
I got to assume the same as for BMX riders.
Don't give me the old cut off of your story again. We heard that Friday I got cut off, and we did get the technicality fixed on that a little bit later.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I don't know. I think you loved racing BMX, so now you want him to love it. What if he's built to ride a dirt bike?
And he's small, so he could be. Oh, yeah. But I think that his being small, get a little bit of physical activity. I'm not saying no to the dirt bike. We're going to test fit him on one. But since it doesn't cost me to buy a bike for this month, BMX Racing League, I can just put him on their stuff.
Yeah.
It cost me $100.
Yeah.
Try it out. That's a cheap $100 to me.
Yeah, no. I mean, it sounds cool. I'll definitely come watch him. Yeah. He's begging for a dirt bike, though. I haven't heard him say, "I want to go race BMX."
No, he does. He goes, "I want to race motocross, then BMX." And I'm like, no, we're going to do it the other way around. But we'll give it a try. Let him try both sports. You know, that's the cool thing. With being a full-time land investor, you get to kind of try those things out with your kids and get to see what they want. You know, my family was strict baseball. Like, it was baseball. And I started gravitating more towards BMX, and I couldn't ride during baseball season. They wouldn't make me play fall ball. If I did play football, I could ride still, but in the spring I could not ride.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of a full-time land investor, real quick before we get, I don't want to push this too hard, but the blueprint is still out there.
Okay.
It's still at that discounted rate for the rest of this week.
Okay, so good till Friday?
Good till Friday at 11:59 Central Time.
So today's topic, I see dead people.
Yeah, and this isn't like a, what was that movie with Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
The Sixth Sense.
I'm the kid.
Yeah.
You know, it came from our closed group. There was a question that said, "Hey, you know, I'm loving the podcast. Can you get a little bit deeper in some more advanced stuff? These are a couple things that I have some questions on," which is is exactly why we have the closed group. You know, it's only open to people who have purchased the blueprint. Now it's the people that were there before were grandfathered in. But, you know, it's a great question because when we talked about this pre-show, I asked you what you do when you see dead people on a deed. And what'd you tell me?
I walk away.
You just walk away. And that's a pretty common thing. And there's a couple things that trigger my mind when I see a dead person on the deed. And we can work through those things a lot of times. And it took me going through title with a property that had a dead person on a deed to actually see how they handled it. And then I started asking questions a little bit more and found out that, you know, if you ask questions the way it's held and things like that, you can a lot of times, if you're self-closing, you can get around it. If you're going through title, you just ask them up front, "Hey, can you do this in closing?" And they'll do it. So we're going to walk through that a little bit.
Yeah. Real quick, I don't want to I don't just immediately walk away, right? I do ask questions, but maybe I'm just too spoiled. I don't put a ton of effort into them, and that's where the deals could be made are made. But it just seems like there's so many deals out there.
Yeah, no, and I get it. Like I don't, I'm not knocking you for saying that. That's a common thing in this industry is that, hey, we know how to generate deals, so we're gonna have so many deals coming at us. Why worry about wasting the time to ask or to do this? Because worst case scenario, it's gonna have to be probated. There's gonna be this big will, and that's what we're told, and that's not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. Do some states require that? We're doing a property right now in South Carolina. The will was probated, but they recorded it in the wrong county, so they have to open up the probate and re-record it to new county. So my question to the title company was, hey, can we do an affidavit of heirship and work around that death on the deed? Because it was a husband and wife. It wasn't bought in joint tenants with rider survivorship. So they said, no, we don't do that in South Carolina. Yeah. Fair question. Probate. No, I'm going to have to go to that.
Yeah. So real quick there, you said two things.
I said a lot of things right there.
Affidavit of heirship.
Affidavit of heirship is an affidavit that says, every state's a little bit different. Some states want one. Some states want three. Some counties just want one. Some counties want three. But an affidavit of heirship it states that somebody that knows both parties for over a certain amount of time says that, yes, this person would want so-and-so to have this property. It's commonly known. You'll see that a lot with title. They'll get an affidavit of heirship filled out to put in with the title work.
So, again, breaking that down, you said someone has to know both parties. What do you mean by that?
So, like, say it's a husband and wife, and they have a best friend that doesn't stand to gain anything from this transaction. So, meaning... say me and Jessica, we'll use that for instance. I pass away, and Jessica has a piece of property that we didn't have in joint tenants, rider survivorship, or I didn't have in the will. She could come to you and say, hey, I'm selling this property. I need you to sign an affidavit of heirship for me. You've known me for over 15 years. You do not profit from it unless you become my kid's stepdad if I die. But you don't profit from the transaction, and you could attest that, yeah, Justin would want Jessica to have it. Or if it were Jackson or Jordan, yes, Justin would want Jackson or Jordan to have this property. Mm. So you can sign that and submit it and record it with the county, and that gives you or it gives her the ability to sell that property.
Yeah.
And I ran into that with title. They put that in place for a lady, and their attorney said, hey, yeah, we got two of those. Goes in there with that.
Yeah. What about where that's accepted? Because that's not accepted everywhere, but most places, right?
Yeah, most places. And so here's kind of this is kind of the order my brain works in. I get a deed back, and or it says the owners are, we'll just use Justin and Jessica again, and Justin's dead. My first question is there a will, and was it probated?
Mm-hmm, same.
In that state where the property's in.
Yeah, that's a big one, too.
Yeah.
So the will does have to be probated in the state where the land is.
And recorded in that county.
Yeah.
So that's the first question. If they say, no, there was no will, then I go, okay, I look at the deed and see how the property was held. Mm-hmm. Was it held as tenants in common or joint tenants with rider survivorship? Joint tenants with rider survivorship is a great way if you're self-closing your properties or selling them to couples outside of their state. Like they live in California, they bought a Nevada piece of property. You sell it to them in a joint tenants rider survivorship. What that means is if husband dies, wife just fills out a affidavit of death form, turns in a death certificate, she has full right to the property. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing you can do for your customers.
Yeah.
Title companies do not do that by default. You have to request it. Mm-hmm. So, but every state is a little bit different. So we're making some blanket statements here, mm-hmm. and I want to put the caveat in that it's state specific and the amount of documentation per county could be county specific. Mm-hmm. So the next question, so we did, is the deed in joint tenants, rider survivorship? If it is not, then it's, can I go with an affidavit of heirship? Mm-hmm. You know, the good thing about working with certain properties that have the margin into title is they'll do all this for you, you know, and there's some steps you can go further. You may have to do a quiet title action, which is kind of an adverse possession. It says, hey, nobody else is going to make claim to this. We can get title to it, but there's going to be some other time periods with that. And we're not attorneys. Mm-hmm. We are people that have dealt with these. You had a quiet title experience. It went kind of...
Yeah, we won't get into that one. We've already spent a show on that.
referring to the Oklahoma deal, but I had one the same similar thing. It was... Grandpa bought it in the 40s, leased it to the neighbors, passed it to son when he died. Son died, passed it to three sons. One of the three sons had died. We had to do a quiet title action back to the grandpa to get everybody cleaned up on a deed. So we got all of them covered at once, and it went to the two sons that were still alive. They sold me their part, but then we dispersed to three families on the thing. A title company took care of all that. You know, the attorney took care of the quiet title action. That property we paid $48,000 for. I had about $5,000 in title and attorney fees into it, and it sold for $135,000. Mm-hmm. So that those deals can make money. It took almost 4.5 months to close that deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with my quiet title property, it took, I want to say we started it in like mid-December. Mm-hmm. I didn't close on it until maybe May. Mm-hmm. I know, so it's definitely a good while to be sitting on that waiting for it to go through. And then in my case, you know, to...
Yeah.
We won't. If you want to hear about it, go back to the Oklahoma. I mean, yeah, the Oklahoma deal.
Yeah, the effing Oklahoma deal.
Yeah, the effing one. But yeah, so far it sounds like we both ask the exact same questions because I do exactly what you do too. And when I see if I have a ton of deals coming in, and then I see the deed isn't proper, or you know what you talked about joint tenants, then I just that's where I'm.
See,
I got so many other deals here. I don't need to focus on this one.
Yeah, and I get that, but a lot of our listeners. That could make or break their mailer.
Yeah, I totally get it. I see where you're going, and I see there's a good amount of money, a great amount of money to be made there, and I fully am on board with people that want to chase it down.
Can I ask you this, and I'm not going to try to put you on the spot, but have you ever filled out an affidavit of heirship and turned it in and recorded it?
No, because I just don't do that.
So, yeah, and that to me is like, hey, can you have your friend make this affidavit for us that knew both of you? They fill it out, and you record it with your normal paperwork. You know, I've done that where... I recorded it first, and I say, hey, record this first. This will be second, and then it's the next one's the deed because they have the right to deed it to me. This has been done in Texas. It's done it in Oklahoma. I've done it in Nevada. These are things that, you know, it's just an additional piece of paperwork. The joint tenants of right of survivorship, if I see that on there and it's a dead person, man, I'm like, oh, great. All I got to do is get a copy of the death certificate in this form.
Yeah.
Boom, shoot it in with the deed.
Yeah, that one's easy.
Yeah, so that's the things we look for when we do that. Again, title cleans up a lot of this for you. That's why title is worth it in a lot of cases when you start shopping at bigger margin property. But I don't want to tell you that is the only way you have to do it because there are some simple tricks you can do. You know, you can always ask the county, hey, do you accept an affidavit of heirship? They're like, yeah, we need two of them though when we do it. Perfect. I've had one county just say they need one. I've had a county ask for three. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, when things do get complicated like this, like obviously I haven't done this one, but when the deed at this point in my career, when the deed looks halfway as complicated or the deal looks halfway as complicated, it's off to title. I'm not even going to deal with it or mess with it. And you get to that price point and it's not a super high one, you know, $5,000 or more could probably make it worth it if you bought it right.
Mm-hmm.
That it just takes that entire headache away just to send it straight to title.
Yeah. And that's sometimes you'll see some quit claim deeds and stuff like that where people have signed the rights away. And that's what I've only had one that we went to title with that we could not figure out a way around it. And it was because one of the kids from a previous marriage said no, they wouldn't sign their rights away. And they owned 3% of the house. So we were going to end up buying 97%. It was on a house deal. The lady needed to sell it. She couldn't afford it. And one kid said, no, I'm not signing. And that one cost us because she wouldn't sign a quit claim deed over to her stepmom. Or I guess, yes, it's not an ex-stepmom because her dad died. But you get the point. Mm-hmm. And that caused that deal to go out. But those are great questions to ask. Now, we had one other option with that, but we weren't guaranteed title when we did it because it's just the way it was going to cost. And it was like $9,000 to do this through some court proceedings and having to take some kind of, I don't know the exact term it was, but it's something I'd never heard of. And so when it gets to a point that far into it, and hey, you're going to spend 6 months and $9,000, that's what the attorney wanted up front to do this deal. There just wasn't enough margin in the deal. Mm-hmm. So. But adding another form and $15 extra for recording, a lot of times that's you can get it done for that.
Yeah.
So hopefully that answered some questions and maybe added a little bit of value to your business because ultimately that's the end goal for us is to add a little bit of value for you and, you know, give you some questions to ask. Title, you can always ask, hey, affidavit of heirship. Hey, husband's dead. It's held in tenant commons. Affidavit of heirship work or can we do, there was no will or there was a will. Can we do a survivorship or do we need to get this probated? And, you know, sometimes you're going to have to get it probated, and you know you're not going to cover that cost for them to take care of their paperwork. So just plan ahead and ask those questions.
Yeah, and if you've bought the blueprint, you can ask them in the closed group, and we'll get them answered for you. And don't forget that closes. The special pricing closes on August 23rd at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
So get out there and get it. And also, do us a favor. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us. Like, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Then go to Instagram, go to Facebook. Give us a like, give us a follow. All right, guys, hope you have a solid Monday, and we will see you Wednesday.
See you guys.